So Jesus says to Louisa, just as I directed my first steps toward the Virgin Mother, so did my divine will direct its first steps in you, Louisa. So here we begin to understand why this era is so important. Everything's going to change. Everything's going to be different. What we are supposed to be doing is praying for a greater than Nineveh to happen. You know, all this doom and gloomers out there, Jesus wins. The church will not be destroyed. You know, God is in charge. So our job is to pray that everyone can enter into the kingdom that's coming. That's why everything's happening. When you want to build a new house, you tear down the old one. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. He says, and I ask for your human will, and you surrendered it to me immediately, and I formed the first act of the conception in your soul, and as it manifested, its knowledge is giving you as though many divine sips. That's what God is doing. This is not human. Divine sips God's given to us. It forms its life, and it gave start to the formation of its kingdom in your soul, and he's doing that with us. But if we're in the way, he won't move us. He's not a tyrant. He says, get out of the way and I'll do this. But it's, no, I'm in charge. I'm going to do what I want. I'll worry. I'll be fearful. I'll be anxious. I'll be complaining. I'll be negative. I'll be sinning. And God says, then you have to go to hell. Because that's the life you're living. It's not a life of God. But for a long time, who knew anything? No one. Only you, Louisa, and I with my mother were aware of everything. And after some time, my representative, the one who directed you, became aware of what was happening in you. Symbol of my representative, Saint Joseph, who was to appear as my father before the creatures, and who was before I came out of the maternal womb, had the great honor and the gift of knowing that I was already in their midst. Very often, other representatives of mine have come to you from afar and from nearby, who have listened to the beautiful news of the kingdom of my divine will. The knowledge is about it. See, it's to hear what Jesus is going to do. Most people say, well, I know what's going to happen. I don't know how many people I've run into, especially theologians. Well, I know what's going to happen. You do? The angels don't even know what's coming. And how it wants to be recognized. How is God trying to be recognized? He's given us the book of heaven. And if you're reading it, if you're really reading it, it's very simple. It's very simple. And this is for children. What Jesus says, he means. It doesn't need to be interpreted. He's very clear. But for some lack of influence, some of human will, they did not occupy themselves with spreading it, and it remained unknown and ignored, even though it already existed in their minds. Because we don't know this, it does not reign. So who is to blame? I mean, everybody loves to blame everybody, somebody. It's very simple. If you're not reading, you will not understand a thing. I had this one person, you know, call me and say that they wanted to teach the divine will. I said, how long have you been doing this? He says, a couple weeks. And I said, why don't you study this for about 20 years and then give it to a priest to do? You know, this is the gift of gifts. It's God wants us to possess this, but it's going to be his way, not our way. He says, now listen to this, it reigns only in you, Louisa Picaretta. Okay, who's the first person next to Louisa that's going to get this? Well, if you read the three appeals, it's the Holy Father. You need a man and a woman for creation, Adam and Eve. You need a man and a woman for redemption, Jesus and Mary. You need a man and a woman for sanctification. That's Louisa and who? The guy with the keys, the keys to the kingdom. Jesus already said who it was going to be 2,000 years ago. And what's really, really interesting is we were talking about this back in, what was it, 2005. And I was so happy the Pope is going to get this. How appropriate. And these two individuals looked at me with really sad faces. And I go, what's the matter? And they go, what about us? I said, who are you? Who are you? Do you have the keys to the kingdom? I mean, come on. It's pure pride. I'm doing it. I'm living in it. Baloney. Jesus said, there's only three that live in it. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And some people even say, St. Padre Pio lived in it. Baloney. St. Mother Teresa lived in it. Baloney. St. John Paul II lived in it. Baloney. Why? Jesus says you have to read this. You have to study it like Louisa to possess it. This is our job. Our job is to read this and to study this and to put this into practice. Let it become alive in us. So the only thing that matters is the divine will. And then we can't wait to read this every day. Can't wait to listen to Jesus. That's what God's waiting for. He says, I'm waiting for the souls who will want the divine will more than anything, and then I will give it to the world. The world doesn't have it yet because he hasn't found anybody that wants it more than anything else. So Jesus is looking at us and he says, will you do it? Will you do this for me? One with Louisa. And our job is to say yes. Our job is to say fiat. Our job is to echo Our Lady. How can I do this? What do I need to do to accomplish this? That's what God's waiting for. He says, I remain in the midst of the creatures only with my Divine Mother and Saint Joseph, who knew me very well, and I formed their paradise on earth. What is the paradise on earth? It's Jesus Christ. And while for the others, it was as if I did not exist. When people get upset at you because you're trying to live in the divine will, they don't hate you. They don't want Jesus. They don't want to even come close to him. In the same way, I have formed this life in you, Louisa, with all the cortege of the knowledges, of the truths, of the promises that God has filled Louisa with. He says, I want to give that to us, the little children, the holy divine will. And if it does not receive the effects, the purpose for which it has made itself known, how can my fiat depart from heaven and come to earth? 527, 130, 30. Who's got a 30-30? Anybody here? Sorry. So just as my... I've got one. No, sorry. Just as my redemption had its beginning, not so in the whole world, but in the center of Judea, because this is the nation where there was a little core of those who were awaiting me. Just one little group. It's like here. One little group. He says, there was she whom I had chosen as mother, and Saint Joseph, who was to be my foster father. In this nation I had manifested myself to the prophets by letting them know that I, Jesus, was going to come upon the earth. And it was right that there was this, that where this was known, they be the first ones to have me in their midst. This is a place where it's known. Even though they were ungrateful and many did not want to know me, yet who can deny that my celestial mother and the apostles and the disciples were from the Jewish nation, and that they were the first criers to expose in their lives to make known to other nations my coming upon the earth and the goods that are in my redemption. So it shall be for the kingdom of my divine fiat. That's what's happening here. In every one of your prayer groups, that's what's where it's happening. Jesus is returning. He said that to St. Faustina. The final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. We should be rejoicing. Jesus said to the apostles, I am returning for those who eagerly await me. Those are the souls that spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Those are the souls who want to attend Holy Mass. Those are the souls who pray the Holy Rosary, who are eager for the return of Jesus. He says, I'm coming to you. Get ready. It's soon. It's soon. Volume 28, 6-2, 1930. If I did miracles, they had something to say because they believed I was the son of Joseph. So, and they had to say that the promised Messiah would come from a carpenter, and they kept arousing doubts about my divine person. So much so as to form clouds around the sun of my divine human holiness. And I aroused little breezes to get rid of the clouds, and I reappeared more blazing with light in their midst in order to accomplish the purpose of my coming upon earth that was redemption. Jesus is getting everything ready. Everything is ready for Christ's return. Everything is ready. And when he comes back, he has to give everybody what they want. He has to do that. He gave the devil 100 years. He wanted it. He gave the devil hell because he wanted it. So what do we want? What do we want? What do we long for? What do we work for every day? Is it to enter into the peace, the joy, the happiness? Or is it to go back where we were, worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative? What do we want? 529, 531, 31. I continue my acts in the divine fiat, and my poor mind paused in the little house of Nazareth with Mary, the Queen of Heaven, and the celestial King Jesus and Saint Joseph were in possession of and lived in the kingdom of the divine will. Joseph lived there because of Jesus and Mary. He didn't possess it. He lived there because of Jesus and Mary. And that's where a lot of saints have been, doing the will of God. But to live in the will of God is to possess it. And that's what he gave to Louisa. And now Jesus wants to give that to us. So this kingdom is not foreign to the earth. The house of Nazareth, the little family that lived in it, belonging to this kingdom, kept it in full force. But while I was thinking about this, my great King Jesus told me, my daughter, indeed, the kingdom of my divine will has existed upon earth, and therefore there is the sure hope. Hope, Christian hope, is certitude that it shall return again to its full force. He's saying it's not here yet. And for those souls to say, well, I'm living in the divine will, God bless you. Jesus said, it shall return again. It's not here yet. Because as Jesus said, I found no one yet who possesses it. Our house of Nazareth was the true kingdom. However, we were without peoples. Now, you must know, this is a command from Jesus, that each creature is a kingdom. You possess, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. You possess a kingdom. But what is that kingdom? Is it controlled by worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin? With doubts? Or is there peaceful, joyful, and happy? Is it that type of a kingdom you're living in? If that's the kingdom, you have the beginning of heaven. You're already beginning to live in heaven. Peace, joy, and happiness. Therefore, the one who lets the divine will reign within himself can be called a little kingdom of the supreme fiat. So, she is a tiny little house of Nazareth that we have on earth, and through though little, since our divine will is in her, reigning heaven is not closed for her. She observes the same laws of the celestial fatherland. She loves with the same love as heaven. She feeds herself with the same foods from heaven. It is incorporated into and is incorporated into the kingdom of our intermittable regions. Heaven is here for those who want it. And that's why when we learn to say fiat in all situations, heaven begins. It just begins. And it will last for all eternity. We'll enter into this more deeply until the point where Jesus says you will dive into this infinite ocean of love and you will drown and stay there forever. In this infinite ocean of love, never to depart from it. Now, in order to form a kingdom of our divine will upon earth, first we shall make the many tiny little houses of Nazareth. That's each and every one of us. Is Jesus there? Is Mary there? Because right now, we're in the presence with like Joseph. If Louisa's there, we are beginning to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. He says, I myself and Mary, the Sovereign Queen, shall be the head of these tiny little houses because we have been the first to possess this kingdom on earth. And therefore, it is our right that we shall not surrender to anyone to be the directors of them. It's Jesus and Mary. That's why your prayer in the morning, you want to possess, fused with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? How are you going to do this? It's by possessing, fusing yourself with Jesus and Mary through Louisa. God's showing us how to do this. This is not a saintly thing. This is not a good thing. This is not a holy thing. It's to share in divinity. So our Lord is saying, how are you doing this? Are you reading the Book of Heaven? Are you saying yes so that the kingdom can be established? That Jesus really wants to know. And when he said that, he said to the apostles, who am I to you? And we have to answer that. When Jesus asks a question in the Book of Heaven, he wants to hear an answer from us. It's just not a novel. Well, wasn't that nice? Jesus just said that. No, he's talking to you. And he's waiting to hear your response. He says, then these little tiny houses, repeaters of our house of Nazareth, we shall form many little states of ours, many provinces of ours, that after they have been formed well. It's not reading it for 5 years. Formed well. Reading it, studying it, putting it into practice. In order, like many little kingdoms of ours, then they shall fuse together. This is going to be heaven. And shall form one single kingdom with one great people. That's what's coming. And it's really, really close. You have to understand this. Jesus wanted this done 6,000 years ago. And now with Louisa, he's asking us, would you begin to live this life one with Louisa? That means everything else has to be thrown into the garbage. What do I mean by that? That's exactly what Paul said. Nothing of the earth matters anymore. The only thing matters is this Catholic faith. Nothing matters anymore. The only thing that matters is to enter into this life that Jesus has breathed into Louisa. What does Louisa's DNA look like? She has the DNA of Jesus and Mary. She has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Is that something that you want? See, we should be screaming, yes. Yes, we want this more than anything. He says, he's going to fuse everything together to form one single kingdom, one great people. 5:30, 3:20, 32. In fact, I might not have manifested to you that I, God, can give and I, God, want to give my divine will so that it's dominating and reigning in the midst of creatures, you would have been indifferent like all the others for a good so great. That's where most people are in the divine will. So I read Louisa. Oh, I have a picture of Louisa. Oh, I like Louisa. Indifferent like all the rest. This, you should be on fire when you see Louisa. You should be wanting to focus on the Book of Heaven. Yes, there's a lot of nice books out there. Great books, interesting books. Jesus says the only book that will transform a soul is the Book of Heaven. Why? It's not the imagination of Louisa that's put these words on paper. Jesus dictated these words. The Word of God dictated these words to Louisa. He's breathed these words into the writings. And as you read the writings, he's breathing into us, transforming us, as he says to Louisa, transmuting us. We're not the same. We can't be the same with the breath of God, the Ruah of God breathing into us. What would it have been like to sit next to Jesus, listening to him? I had a friend who did that. He was an amazing man. And he used to sit with Jesus all the time and they would talk together. And one day Jesus gave him the glorified body. And he looked at his arm and he said, I could see the bones and the tendons and the nerves. I could see the veins and the blood flowing through the veins. I could see the muscles. I was completely filled with joy. And he said to Jesus, why am I so happy? And Jesus said to him, because we are looking at ourselves. Oh, I'm living in the divine will. Oh, really? Oh, really? That's what it is. We are looking at ourselves. Then he walked outside, it was February, and in his path to his greenhouse, he had rose bushes. And the rose bushes came to full bloom and then bowed as he walked by. And he said to Jesus, what's going on? And Jesus says, the creatures are aware that they're in the presence of their Creator and are blushing. Oh yes, I'm living in the divine will. Baloney. You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. And God is looking for those little ones. That's what Father Bougie said, little, insignificant, and hidden. If you want to live in the divine will, little, insignificant, and hidden, it's nothing about you. We're creatures. God alone is holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. God is so beautiful. As if he, in his humility, he shows us as himself as bread and wine. But if God appeared, we would melt. He's so beautiful. He is so perfect. We could not stand in his presence. He's so magnificent. He's so God. Oh yeah, I'm living in the divine will. When the illumination of conscience comes, which is really the Book of Heaven, what Jesus taught Louisa, when we become aware of what that is, we're going to melt. God is so beautiful, so holy, so perfect. And that's why many people will die. Because they think they're pretty smart, pretty good, pretty talented. God alone is holy. God alone is good. The three promises to Abraham in when we read the canticle in the morning is freed from the enemy. When Jesus died on the cross, we were freed from the enemy. The second promise is we will be free to worship God without fear. That's Jesus in the Eucharist. How many of us were terrified today? Standing before the Holy of Holies, Jesus Christ. And then receiving Him, God Almighty. But the third promise is the divine will, to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. Who is holy? God alone. Who is righteous? God alone. And God is asking us, are you willing to enter into this life, to give up everything for this life? And He says, I can find no one. Oh yeah, we're living in the divine will. Again, you have to know this, you have to read this, you have to study this, you have to put this into practice. This has to become your everything. Well, I read all 36 volumes. Well, good for you. God bless you. What do you know? What do you possess? This is what God is waiting for. He has great things in store, great things. So He says this. I forgot where I was. Okay. So, that your interest, your prayers have been effects and part of that which we have known. And I, myself, when I came upon earth in the 30 years of my hidden life, it can be said that I apparently didn't do good to anyone, nor did even one know me. I remained in the midst of them unobserved. The whole good was developed between me and the celestial Father, between my celestial mother and my dear Saint Joseph. And they knew who I was. All the others knew nothing. That's the divine will. Nobody knows anything yet. Nobody knows anything. But when that great day events, when that event occurs, Jesus said, it's going to knock the socks off of you. Because it's going to be so magnificent. That's what God's got planned. 5:32, 4:16, 19:33. Oh, if the creatures might pay attention to me, they would have felt in my steps the continuous cry, I race in search of creatures, in order to love them and to be loved. Thus, if I work with St. Joseph in order to procure the necessities of life, it was love that raced, and they were contests. They were triumphs that I, God, made. Because one fiat was enough for me in order to have everything at my disposition of making use of my hands for the little prophet. The heavens were stupefied. The angels remained enraptured and in mute in seeing me, Jesus, abase myself to the humblest actions of life. But my love had its outlet. It filled. It overflowed in my acts, and I was always the divine conqueror and triumphator. This is what God wants to do with us. He wants to reign in us. When you're walking, He wants to walk in your walking. When you're singing, He wants to sing in your singing. When you're dancing, He wants to dance in your dancing. And our job is to say, Lord, it's yours. This life is yours. Do with me as you wish. Gaze in my gazing. Sing in my singing. Listen in my listening. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. I want nothing to do with it anymore. I surrender it completely to you. You must be my Lord, my Master, my King, my Savior, my God, my all. And it's yours. I put my human will at the footstool of the Father as Our Lady did. And as Louisa did, I surrender so there's nothing of me any longer. It's only you. This is what God's waiting for. He can't find anybody yet. Oh, we love Jesus. But He can't find anybody. Louisa is the first. Volume 26, 8, 3, 19, 20, 9. My daughter, when our divinity decides to do a universal work with a soul who is chosen as the first, to whom we entrust a work that must serve for the good of all mankind, The ardor of our love is so great that we, triune God, put everyone and everything aside as if no one else existed, and then we centralize the whole of our divine being over this soul. And we give that soul so much of our own to the point of forming these oceans, these seas around her, and of drowning her with all of our divine goods. And we, triune God, want to give so much because of the ardor of our love leads us to never stop so as to see in her our divine work accomplished. That's Luisa. That's what he did with the Blessed Mother for redemption. And that's what he's doing with Luisa for sanctification. Through which everyone and everything can enjoy and take in the universal goods that our work encloses. The Catholic goods that our work encloses. With this, it is not that we, triune God, do not see what the other creatures do, because our all-seeingness and immensity conceals nothing from us. We are aware of everything, and from us, triune God, comes the life and the helps for all mankind. But we act in such a way, listen to this, and we behave as if nothing else existed. That's why Jesus said to Luisa, they want to destroy my church. He said, let them. They want to destroy the earth. He said, let them. It's as if nothing exists. Why? He says, because you and me, Luisa, with my mother, are going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Let them do what they want. Don't get upset about it. Don't complain about it. Don't be negative about it. The kingdom is coming. And Jesus says to us, will you work with me and my mother and Luisa? And when we say yes, then he says, get out of my way. I'm going to do this. Jesus has got great, great plans. So we acted in creation after informed the heavens, the suns, the earth, ordering everything and with such harmony and magnificence as to be stunning. In creating Adam, we centralized ourselves over him. The ardor of our love was so great that it overflowed so strongly that forming a veil around us, it made everything disappear for us. And while we saw everything, we, triune God, occupied ourselves only with Adam. What did we not pour into Adam? We poured everything. While, he says, the creation was the magnificence and the beauty of our works. In Adam, there was not only the centralization of all our works fused in Adam, but what's more, the settling of our divine life, our divine love overflowed, and it gave itself no rest. It wanted to give always, always, because it saw in Adam all human generations. So we acted in the Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven and Earth. Everything was put aside, all the evils of other creatures, and we occupied ourselves only with the Blessed Mother. We poured so much that she, Mary, was full of grace because she was the universal mother, the cause of the redemption of all mankind. And so we are acting with you, Luisa Picaretto, for the kingdom of our divine will. We, triune God, are behaving as if nothing else existed. And if we wanted to look at what other creatures are doing, the evils they commit, the ingratitudes, the kingdom of our divine will would remain always in heaven. Not only this, but we would not even feel disposed to tell a single truth about our supreme fiat. But our divine love, forming its veil of love over all the evils of creatures, put aside everything. Everything's aside for us, triune God, overflowing strongly, not only to make us speak about the divine will, but what is more, makes us decide to give the great gift of the kingdom of our fiat to mankind. When our love is dead, set on something, it seems it does not reason, and it wants to win by dint of love, not of reason. Therefore, as it saw, it heard, as if it saw and heard nothing at any cost, The divine will wants to give what it has decided. This is a divine decree. So this is why it holds back nothing, and it pours the whole of itself over all creatures, over the creature Luisa, who is chosen for the great universal good that must descend for the good of all human generations. That's Luisa. Oh, I know Luisa. You have no idea who Luisa is. Listen to what he says. God chose Luisa for the universal good that must descend from heaven to earth for the good of all human generations, past, present, and future. And this is the reason for the so much giving and saying to you, Luisa, these are the ardors of our love that wants to hold nothing back. It wants to give everything as long as the kingdom of the divine will may reign upon earth. This is eternal. Until there is no more heaven and earth. Do you see what God is doing? Now is the time that everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. And Jesus is saying to us, are you willing to begin this life before it actually is seen by everyone? Are you willing to begin to live this? Listen to Our Lady. Now, my child, listen to me. I continue my life in the temple, and my little escapes up there into heaven, the heavenly fatherland, the celestial fatherland. I had my right as daughter to make my little visit to my divine family. See, this is it. You have to understand, the divine will, you've entered into the divine family of God. It's not your blood family. It's the family of God. This is what God is trying to show us. I've had people in the divine will who've given up the divine will because their family told them to. I didn't want to upset my family. So upset God. Can you imagine? So this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. And our Lord is offering this to us. We don't deserve this, but he's offering it to us. He says, the divine family is more than a father, and belong to me, more than a father, belong to me. But what was not my surprise when one of these visits, the divine person, this is Our Lady speaking about the Trinity, the divine persons made known to me that it was their will for me to leave the temple, first to unite myself in bonds of marriage, according to the manner of those times, to the holy man called Joseph, and then to withdraw together with him to live in the house of Nazareth. Think of the wedding band that you got. The wedding band that you got. Jesus has proposed to us. And again, if you are sad and upset and lonely, look at the wedding band. You belong to Jesus. You have said yes to Jesus. And yeah, there'll be some rough times, but you have to remember what you're wearing. My child, in this step, my life was apparently seemed that God wanted to put me to the test. I had never loved anyone in the world. And since the divine will extended through my whole being, my human will never had one act of life. Therefore, the seed of human love was missing in me. How could I love a man in the human order, though he might be a great saint? It is true that I loved everyone, and that my love for all was so great that my love of mother kept them inscribed in my maternal heart, one by one, the indelible character of fire, but this was all in the divine order. Human love, compared to the divine, can be called shadows, shadings, atoms of love. You begin to understand celibacy of the priesthood or of the convent or of the brotherhood. You begin to understand it's not human love compared to the divine. This is a joy-filled life. Jesus says this. He's very, very clear. It could be called a shadow, a shadings of atoms of love. Yet, my child, what apparently seemed to be a trial, as though foreign to the sanctity of my life, was admirably used by God to fulfill His designs, to grant me the grace for which I so much longed, that is, the descent of Jesus, the Word, upon earth. And God gave me the safeguards, the defense, the helps, such that no one could talk about me, about my honesty. St. Joseph was to be the cooperator, the tutor, who was to take care of that bit of the human will that we needed, as well as the shadow of the celestial paternity in which our little celestial family on earth was to be formed. So in spite of my surprise, immediately I said, fiat. Immediately I said, fiat. That's what we're learning. Immediately I will say, fiat. Knowing that the divine will would not harm me or prejudice my sanctity. Oh, had I wanted to put it in one act of my human will, even in the aspect of not wanting to know man, I would have sent to ruin the plans of the coming of the Word upon earth. Therefore, it is not the diversity of states that prejudices sanctity, but the lack of divine will, and that of fulfillment of one's own duties, to which God calls the creature. All states are holy. Marriage, too, provides that the divine will is present, as well as the exact sacrifice of one's own duties. But the great part are indolent and lazy. And not only do they not become saints, but their own state. But of their own state, some make it to purgatory, and some make it to hell. So as I learned I was leaving the temple, I did not say a word to anyone, wanting for God Himself to move the external circumstances. Again, that's important. God has to start working in our life. We have to trust Him to make me fully aware, fulfill His adorable will, as in fact happened. The superiors of the temple called me and let me know that it was their will and also the custom of those times that I prepare for myself for marriage, and I accepted. Miraculously, among many, the choice fell upon St. Joseph, so the marriage was made and I left the temple. Therefore, I beg you, child of my heart, that in all circumstances, this is Our Lady asking us, in all circumstances, you take to heart the divine will alone, fiat. If you want the divine designs to be accomplished over you, Jesus and Mary are going to take care of everything. But when you hook yourself up with Louisa, when you link yourself up with Louisa, you have the true life of Jesus. You have the true life of Mary like you've never experienced before. There is nothing to worry about. I don't care what it is. There's nothing to worry about. Jesus is going to take care of everything. Christian hope is certitude. We are confident in Him. There's going to be some bumpy roads. There's going to be some interesting times, but God's going to take care of us. This is what He said to Louisa. Jesus said that the little children of the Holy Divine Will are His most favored. There's nothing to worry about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.